Again, thank you, Tom, for the rich word that you shared with us last week. So good, so good. You are a blessing. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. And normally, let's just do a couple of things as we're turning there. I'm going to try and chop off some front end because there's some place I want to get today that I believe God wants us to get to. And one of them I'll dispense with is most of the humor. I'll just give you one today. There was a Hispanic magician, and he was he told the crowd, said, "Listen, on the count of three, I'm going to disappear." So he said, "Uno, dos," and then he disappeared without a trace. That's a See, that's why we're dispensing with prayer. Hey, some really exciting things happening in Brazil. They have a president who is absolutely on fire for Jesus Christ. And the SEND was just there, the minister to over 140,000 people. And though the president was not specifically invited, he came on his own volition. And he stood up in front of, this was televised, so it went way beyond the 140, really went around the world. But this president stood up and proclaimed his faith in Jesus Christ. And you know, his first day in office, he said the focus of his administration was going to be to promote Judeo-Christian values in the country. And so, but you know, it doesn't come without a fight. A month before he was elected, an assassination attempt, somebody stabbed him, and the doctor that treated him said that it's only 1 in 100 that have this kind of wound that would have lived. But he lived, he's president, he's proclaiming Jesus, and so we're just excited to see. I love prophetic words. I do look at a lot of prophetic, some of them get you confused, though, because, you know, this is a great and terrible day of the Lord. Some will tell you it's great, some will tell you it's terrible, and I don't know which one to believe. But I loved looking at the Word, and the Word says, in these days, he's going to pour his Spirit upon all flesh. And I'm seeing all over the globe, I mean, it's amazing what's happening. We're seeing in China, and Iran, of all places, revival breaking forth. And so that tells me I don't want to be left behind. I want to be on the cutting edge of revival and transformation. But if you think this is all there is, then this is all there is. Because as a man thinks in his heart. But I want to tell you, if you think, no, I am the generation that the prophets of old looked forward to and said, I'm jealous over what they're going to be released through their lives. That's us today. So we need to capture that and walk in it. I also wanted to take a minute today and pray. Because the coronavirus that has just been, it's just really running rampant, and it's had too much permission. And it's time that the body of Christ rise up, because Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and then he gave us the keys. And so we carry the authority to stop this thing, and we need to stand up and do that. I'm going to ask you to do that physically, to let it be an example of what you're doing internally. We're standing on the promises of God and taking authority over this evil thing. And Father, we put you in remembrance of your word that says that every name under heaven will bow to the name of Jesus. So coronavirus, we tell you, you've got to bow to the greater name of Jesus, and you have no authority, and we tell you, you have to stop, cease, and desist in Jesus' name. And we say, no more, no more, no more. You die, you wither, you dry up, you go back to where you came from. And so we just thank you, God. Thank you for healing moves and testimonies of, Lord, even those that are infected, that you would touch their lives. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that right there, that is the Christian response. When you're watching the news and you see bad news, we pray. That's what we do. Don't moan and don't get fearful. Hallelujah. And Wendy, I didn't tell you this, but at the end of the message, we're going to look at Joel chapter 2, verses 25 and 28. Okay? All right. Praise God. I feel, I feel good. But I feel like a rhinoceros in a china shop. I feel like I've got a word that's so busting. I don't know how it's going to come out. You know, it's one of those things when you ever open a pop can after it's been shaken. I don't know how it's going to come out, but I'm just full. I'm feeling this, even though I haven't released it yet. Hallelujah. Are you in Ephesians chapter 1? Look at verse number 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, we've been talking about Jesus Christ. That means the anointed one. It means the anointing. It means the Christ on the inside of you means that you're anointed. I've been preaching that for 8 weeks, and I don't want to go back over that, but I want you to know that he is in you. He's on the inside of you, and he's on the inside of you for a purpose. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not going to, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ or in the anointing. Every spiritual blessing. God bankrupted heaven so that you could carry what heaven has. It's in you. He's in you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's in you. You carry the answer. Woo. Every spiritual blessing. It's already living on the inside of you. You know, if we could just capture that one thought, I promise the rest of your Christian life would absolutely be turned upside down. We could just be dismissed right here. And my wife is saying, yep. Yeah, that'd be a good thing to do, Ron. Verse number 4. Just as he... You know, I talked to you the last time we were together about chosen, and I want to go there again today because I think until we capture really to the point that we're living in the fact that you are chosen. You know, if I came home and I told Donna, I've been chosen, what's the first thing she's going to ask me? For what? The fact that you have been chosen says that there is purpose written over your life. You are not an accident. You're not a wandering generality. God has an exclamation point over you. You have an assignment. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. And God is going to unlock his kingdom through you. I'm preaching better than your amen today. It's okay. God forgive them. Just as he chose us in him. When? Before he ever said, let there be light, he breathed his purpose into you, your assignment, your destiny. And Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. Those plans were established in you before he ever said, let there be light. Before he brought chaos into order around the whole globe, he already had an assignment waiting for you. And nobody can birth that assignment but you. You have an assignment and a purpose. I want to declare to you today that you matter. I don't care what's been spoken over you. I don't care what's happened to you. God has a greater assignment for you. He has a destiny, and he does know the end from the beginning, and he sees your end, and his job is to try and get you there. Your job is to try and cooperate with him getting you there. Just real quick on destiny, because I had somebody when I was teaching this a couple of weeks ago. They said, well, what do you believe in predestination then? Well, of course I do. He says you have a destiny. But I want to tell you that he has already determined it. But it's up to you whether you're going to be obedient to it. Yeah. You can walk off that path. He's got a plan. He says it. He's got a plan. You don't have to build according to his plan. You can build however you want to. Yeah. But I would recommend you build according to his plan. Yeah. Okay. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. That word holy means separated, that you've been called apart. There's a people who are God's and there's a people who are not. And the people who are not don't even know that they're not. But the people who are, sometimes they don't know that they are. The goal, I pray you catch this today, is you realize you are a person of God with an assignment. I pray you will walk away with that today. You've been chosen for a purpose. He says, holy, separated, without blame, before him, in what? In love. Don't have time to, but just imagine his assignment is going to be released through you in love. We have a lot of people that want to release him in power, and they want to release him in all kinds of, you know, gifts and different things, but It's love that is going to absolutely open the door for your gift to be used. If you're attempting to use your gift without going through the doorway of love, can I just tell you, just stay home. Yeah. Don't. No, even better than this. If you're going to go out and try and operate in the kingdom without love, then do us a favor. Don't tell people you're a Christian. Tell them you're an atheist and help us in reverse, okay? That would be a good way to handle that. Verse 5, having predestined us. Oh, I have to unpack that today. He's predestined us to what? Adoption as gardeners. As janitors. No. As sons. Son. Women, if you get offended by gender because I say you're a son, well, then I get offended by gender because he says we're his bride. So we both have this issue we got to work through. You're adopted as sons. By who? Christ. You were adopted by Christ to who? See, you can have an adoption agency that's working on your adoption, but they don't adopt you. They assign you somewhere. But the person working on your adoption was Jesus Christ himself because he wanted you so much for himself that he adopted you to himself. That's what it says. Why did he do it? Well, because he's got to unfold kingdom. He's got a purpose in the earth. He's got a, that's not what it says. It says, according to the good pleasure of his will. He adopted you as a son, as a daughter. Why? Because he wanted to. He wasn't looking for a good player on his team. He just said, I love you. I want you a part of me. I just want to be everywhere you are. He has your name tattooed in his hand. Here's the thing we get hung up on. Well, my life it sucks, or maybe I've been through some stuff and I don't know that I qualify anymore. I have patterns of thinking right now that really don't line up with the Word of God. I need to repent. I need to get cleaned up. I'm doing things. I'm saying things. Blah blah blah. All this stuff that disqualifies you from being chosen or being walked out as God. And he says, you know what? None of that caught me by surprise. You're still good. You're okay. Listen, yes, you may get off path, but I can get you back on path, and I can actually, well, I don't want to spoil the spoiler alert. We got a good thing coming up at the end of the message regarding that. But see, we get hung up on what's happened to us or the decisions that we've made or how things are panning out or whatever. But that's not the real you. We have people going to counseling trying to get over because they were a bedwetter. But I want to tell you that it's more important to know that you are his son, his daughter. None of that matters. It shouldn't matter because the real you was established in Christ before the foundation of the world. We're wanting to get counseling and understanding, going through self-help. The self-help section of the library is a huge. I went to the bookstore the other day and I asked them, where is the self-help section? They said, well, we would tell you, but it would defeat the purpose. But we have people trying to discover, why do I think this way and where am I, forget all that. That's why I love the inner healing ministry that we have here, because the Holy Spirit will identify, quit messing with the spider web. Go, let the Holy Spirit go right for the spider, kill that thing, and then move on. We have people go through inner healing that they've been in counseling for years and years and years, and they'll go through inner healing, and in a few sessions, the Holy Spirit will get what the counselor never got to in all those years. Amen. The real you was created before the foundations of the world. Yeah. The real you didn't come from your mom and dad. I'm sorry to tell you. My dad is sitting here. Dad, thank you that I have a body because of you, but the real me came from my heavenly Father, and that's the one whose DNA I need to really be concerned about. He chose you before the foundations of the world. He knew about your prison time. He knew about your divorce. He knew about your stealing. He knew about your lying. He knew about all this stuff, but he chose you anyway. You are chosen. Excuse me just a minute. Hallelujah! He chose me anyway. Whew. Somebody shout, I'm chosen. I just think it's important to get this inside of you. You know, in English, we talked about this last week. I know I'm doing a longer recap. It wasn't last week. It was the week before. I know I'm doing a longer recap, but this word love, we have it up on the screen there. Your dog. Yeah, well, sometimes I love my dog. We say I love everything. I love my wife. I love pizza. I love vacation. I love my dog. We use love for everything. But in the Greek, they had four words for love, and it very clearly defined which it was for. But in English, we're not that adept with knowledge, and you have to know that about the Bible. When you're reading the Bible, you've got to discover what do the words really mean. And so there is actually two words in the Bible for the word. One of them is logos and the other one is rhema. So logos is the whole world, the whole word. This is the concept and the principles of God. Jesus, do you know Jesus, that wasn't always his name? Actually, it's just a short-term name for Jesus. Jesus wasn't Jesus in heaven. John says, in the beginning was what? His name eternally has been the Word. It wasn't until it was proclaimed to Mary, you're going to have a son, that all of a sudden his name became Jesus. But he's been known throughout eternity as the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And that's when but I want you to know him as Word, because we're going to look at this word, logos and rhema. We say, oh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it's actually Father, Word, and Holy Spirit, if you really wanted to be accurate. So Jesus was on the earth, and he said, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear the Father do it. He was just such a mirror image in the earth of God. He was God in the earth. So the full concept is fed by this. It's by watching Jesus, what he did, it's by reading your word, you get the concepts of heaven. If we're gonna live heaven on earth, we've gotta get this stuff in us. Don't call me every time you've got a decision to make and say, listen, I need to talk to somebody about this, or things are going bad and I need to talk to somebody about this. Call Donna. Get in the word, and better yet, listen to the inside of you. You know, you can't eat this whole concept of God. God's amazing. He's way too big to get the whole concept of God in one bite. So what he does is he gives us rhema. If this book is the logos, then one verse is a rhema. So he gives you a word out of the word that will feed your. I'm talking to you today about chosen. I believe today that as I am talking to you about chosen, this rhema out of the logos, that it's going to minister to you, that you're going to get set free from abandonment issues and from hurts and past wounds and things that didn't turn out right. Because once you know you're chosen, none of that stuff matters. You have value. I know you had father wounds. I know you had issues. But come on, it's time to grow up. I love the word, the story. I've probably told it to you before because it really paints a picture about the woman who was brutally raped and almost died. And it was horrible. And a friend of hers saw her like 6 months later. And this woman who had been raped was just happy and joyous as she'd ever seen her. And her friend said, what happened to you? How could you be, I mean, you almost died. The guy, how can you be this happy? I've never seen you this happy. She said, well, I made a determination. He may have raped me once, but he's not going to rape me my whole life. And I think we've got to live that way. We've got to look and see that there's a greater calling on our life than the mess that we're trying to get freed from. Forget it. Focus on the truth. Focus on the destiny. Focus on the calling. Focus on him. And just, you know, when you keep doing what's right, eventually what's wrong will leave your life. It's just a truth. That's the way it works. So then there is this word chosen, and we have to look at that in the Greek too, because it's eklegome is the way it's spelled. Eklegome. Let go my ego. Lego. Ek means out of. Lego is, logos is the noun. Lego is the verb portion of the word. It's the word in action. Out of the word, and this just means tense, that it's current, it's present. So you are chosen. It says out of the word. Now, if a rhema is a word out of the word, and if you are a word out of the word, what are you? Rhema. You're rhema. You are a rhema. Your life should speak a message wherever you go. Listen, sometimes, you know, with words, but I believe that you should be light and salt to a dying world, and if necessary, use words. But the Bible talks about us being an example. How are they going to know that we really love him? By the way, we love each other. Is it by the messages you preach? Well, maybe a little bit, but I think it's more important that we display love to one another. That's why team life is so important. We've got to get that culture back. We can't expect our society to be loving and be honoring if we don't first get it in here first. Judgment first has to come to the house of God. God can't okay. All right, this word chosen. I pulled out a few scriptures, and I'm going to ask you to stand, those that I've called upon, and I just want you to read your word, and one right after the other. We're going to try and go through this really quick, but I just want you to hear a few scriptures on chosen.
Galatians 1:15-16. But he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles.
Deuteronomy 7:6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasure. Possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
2 Thessalonians 2:13. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth.
Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship,
chosen by grace.
Do you think he's trying to tell us something? You are chosen. There's so much power in that. And then he goes on and he says that you are predestined. Now, this word predestined is really it's a weird word. It's made up of two words, pre and destined. And they don't go together. They don't fit at all. Pre means before. Destiny means the end. And so, you know, you put them together. The beginning and the end. It means that you were reverse engineered. God knew your life. He formed you. we live in time, so it's kind of hard for us to get wrap our brains around. God doesn't live in time. God lives in eternity. He went to the end of your life and saw the destiny, saw the fruit of you on the earth, all the things that you're assigned, all the blessing and what's to pour you out on to you and also through you. He saw all that, and then he walks you back to the beginning and says, here, my son, this is your starting point. Go get him, tiger. And he already knows. How could he tell you everything's going to turn out all right unless he knew your end? He knows what he's talking about. He goes to the end. He says, anybody that he foreknew, and we're already told if we're in Christ, we're foreknown. If he foreknew you, then he predestined you. If he predestined you, then he called you. If he called you, he's justified you. If he's justified you, he's glorified you. I want you to know there's assignment on your life to be glorified. That means that his presence is on you and in you, not just for your benefit, but for others. Your destiny has already been set and laid out and determined by God. Your destiny, whether you choose to fulfill it, is up to you. The people that teach predestination, it's as though we have no say-so in it. But God is not a taskmaster. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now listen, you can choose to walk in it and walk out his life or not. How many of you had a portion of your life you didn't? I got some really good news coming to you about that. See, this word is life the way heaven knows it. But how many of us want to intervene on our terms and live life the way either I determine or the enemy determines or people pleases the way everybody determines? I mean, I was just kidding there. God's intention for the earth wasn't for the earth to be in chaos. In fact, he sent a man named Adam, and he gave him authority over everything, and he said, take and turn the chaos into paradise. And he started, but he gave up his authority. And then the second Adam came. What's the first thing that the second Adam gave back to us? He said, all authority has been given unto me. Here, you take the keys. Yes. You take the keys. You determine. You either set things open or you close things. Why? Because you carry the authority. And he said, whatever you do on the earth. You know, the way the Bible says it, that it's already done in the heavens. Whatever has been bound, whatever you bind, the Bible says it's already been bound in heaven. Why? Because you're God's authority in the earth. Come on, are you seeing this? You are deputized to carry the full authority of heaven. So when you speak to something, it's got to move. It's got to move. Say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, believe what you say. Come to. How many of us are really doing that? But a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't let him think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. So we go to the mountain, we say, move. Move. You know, I don't mean to keep harping on this cancer thing, and it wasn't as bad, but you know, I had full, complete trust in God with Donna will tell you, I had no fear, no anxiety, no nothing, because I knew he had it. I was disappointed in how it came to be, but I'm standing here before you today cancer-free, and I'm going to live my full 120 years because my trust and my faith is in him. All right, let's move on. God creates the destiny. You've got to figure out whether or not you're going to use the keys. So the Bible is the general guidelines, but you know, I can't open to Hebrews 7:3 and read if I'm supposed to invest in this investment property at 237 Dover Street. It's not in there. He does tell me to love my neighbors, to honor him with my first fruits, to forgive those who offended me. There's all kinds of things, but it doesn't tell me whether I should invest in Dover Street or not. That's why you're anointed. Did you hear me?
Yes.
That's why you're anointed. That's what the anointing does. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It's on the inside of you. His answers, come on, this is general concepts, and there are principles and guidelines. Some of them are very specific, but he doesn't tell you whether you're supposed to drink something other than milk because you're lactose-free or not. He gives you a little bit of latitude. He expects us to not just use this, but to use this. All right, I have to show you this. Listen to this statement. God takes the future of a thing and he hides it inside the thing.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's
great. Here's the future. You know what this is?
Tree.
That's a whole dadgum tree bearing over its lifetime thousands, maybe tens of thousands of apples. It's all right there. Do you know that everything he gives us in seed form? Your faith he gives you in seed form. He said, by reason of use are the gifts matured. Okay, some of you got that. I want to show you this one too. This one blew me away. I was having my Enoch walks. In the morning, and I passed this place where there's a whole bank as big as that wall of these flowers. They're like vines, but just absolutely solid flowers. And they were all from one plant, but some were yellow, some were pink. It was just beautiful. And I'm standing there just admiring the beauty of it on my Enoch walk. We're talking with God. And he just asked me, where'd the color come from? I'm not a scientist. I don't know where the color came from. And so he said, I want you to look at a seed. Come here, Gary. Huh. Seed just got raptured. Praise God, I got some more seeds. Why don't you guys go to lunch when you're back? All right. They keep jumping. Okay.
Oh, that's a sharp knife.
No. Now, here's the thing. How much color is in the dirt?
Not much. It's all dark.
Okay, so obviously then the color comes from the water.
From the water?
How much color is there in water?
Not much.
So it's got to come from the seed. So here, I just want you to look inside that seed. Use the magnifying glass and look inside that seed. Can you see all the colors in there?
Seeing much.
If you could see the inside of this, it's pure white. It's got a brown hull, and it's pure white. We'll pray for your color blindness later.
Pray for my eyesight, too.
But inside that seed, there's nothing but white and brown hull. Yet this is what it produces. Where does it come from? Where's it come from? Here's what I think. I think sometimes we don't see the anointing on the inside of us, but it's there. If God can put the color over a whole big, out of a seed, where there's no color there, there's no color in the dirt, there's no color in the water. God just does things. Now, maybe you could get a scientist in here to try and explain it. But I'd have to rebuke him with a word, so it wouldn't be very pleasant for him. Here's what I think. We have to understand that our life was hidden in Christ. That's what the word says. You got it? The Bible says that he was slain from the foundations of the earth. When he was slain, we were slain. Now, he says our life is hidden in Christ. Now, I'm not going to reteach 8 weeks, but in Christ means the anointing. That's on the inside of you. That's on the inside of you. Your color is on the inside of you. You may not see it, but it's there. Why? Because you're chosen. He gave you the color when he chose you. Your purpose, your fragrance, who you are, your assignments, your destiny. That's why he said predestined, and he showed you who you are. Well, doesn't always show us, but he knows who you are, and he knows who you are. He doesn't know who you are sometimes. To be carnally minded is to be enmity with. All right. I've got to show you this, and then we're gonna bring this plane in for landing. Joel, did you find that, by the way, Joel chapter 2:25? Okay. So he says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts had eaten, and then he goes on to describe three different types of locusts, which is a whole other teaching I'm not going to do today. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says in Psalms that we have 120 years on the earth. Now, I know. My wife says she's going to live forever. And some days she says, you're not going to live very long. But, if we had time, I'd unpack this, but it's not part of the message. If you study it out, it was 120 years until the flood when this was said. It has to do with that. But let's just, for argument's sake, say 120 years. So God has said 120 years, which I'll tell you another reason why it can't be. He says that in Genesis. Read a little further in Genesis, and you see people that live into 600 years, 800 years. So anyways, we're using it for argument's sake. So let's say this is the beginning of your life. This is the end of your life. I don't know where to stand where you can all can see it. I make a better door than a window. But you spent the first 35 years of your life living like a fool. You're just crazy. You didn't acknowledge God. You didn't live for him. You just missed out on all the blessings of God. But then you come in here to Hope, and I tell you about a man named Jesus that you can run to with all your chains, and he sets you free. And all of a sudden, you've got a whole brand new life. All things have passed away. Old things passed away. All things have become new. So here at 35 years old, you're seeing a bright new future in Christ. But I don't know about you, but it dawned on me. Things don't dawn really quickly on me, but it dawned on me. I got a little bit discouraged because I'd wasted. Now, for us, I think I was 24, right? 24, 25. One of us was 24, one was 25. I won't tell you which one. Anyways, it dawned on me. As happy as I was to live the rest of my life for Christ, I realized, what have I missed out on? How How horrible. How horrible is that? Joel says he's able to redeem the years that the locust. Let me show you this, because back in that day, agriculture was the commerce of the day. And the thing that would destroy commerce was locusts. You see it different places in the Bible where locusts represented the destruction of commerce. But today the commerce is time. You trade your time for a paycheck. You don't bring, I don't have time to teach it. You can look it up yourself, but it's the truth. Commerce of today is time. So what does the enemy try and do? He tries to steal your time. That's why I hear people say, you know, how you live? Oh, I'm on the fence. You know, I'm kind of in, kind of out Christianity. There is no fence. That's such a puke-faced lie. There is no fence. You're either for him or against him. Don't buy this thing that, well, I'm halfway into a connoisseur. No, you're either with him or you're against him. That's the way it is. And so we have people even that'll start out here, and then they'll walk away for a little bit here, and then they'll come back here. And boy, that time got out. The enemy is after your time. But what that scripture says is the time that you weren't walking in the blessings and you weren't being a blessing, he's saying, well, whatever time you have left here, I'm going to take all the blessings that were supposed to be yours here and all the blessings that were supposed to be yours here, and I'm going to mash them right into what time you have left, because I'm redeeming the time that the locust has eaten. Why? Because you're chosen, and he has a destiny and a destination for you to get here, and he's not going to let the enemy abort it. This is your destiny. This is your purpose. This is who you are. This is the end game of what he's designed you to do. Your blueprints say this is who you are, and so he's not going to say, well, yeah, you cut this out and you cut this out. I'll do the best I can. No, he says, I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to buy it back for you. I'm going to squeeze it in here. But if you don't know it, you don't get it. You're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen. You've got to capture this. I'm done.